welcome to another edition of Basketball. I'm Sean Woodley.
I'm Katie Heindel.
She's back! Woohoo! And today's show is brought to you by Rasheed Wallace, who on this day in 2000 was the subject of a Baltimore Sun article called Technical Problems Hindering Wallace by a man named Don Marcus. The article details how in game one of their series against the LA Lakers in this, I guess this would be the conference finals based on the time of year we're talking here, how he got a tech, only played 16 minutes, scored 11 points, and left the game as the Blazers lost the game. And then it goes into how he didn't get ejected in the next game, and they won by 30 on the back of a career-best performance by Rasheed Wallace in the playoffs. My favorite fun fact in this story, though, Katie, is the detail in here that in the 1999-2000 season, Rasheed Wallace picked up an NBA record 45 technical fouls? Excuse me? What? That is a lot of technical fouls, Katie. That's more than like one per every two games. What a king, right?
Yeah. I have to know, like, that's still the record, I guess.
That has to still be the record. I can't imagine it's even close. I'm going to look it up right now. All-time single-season technical foul leaders. But yeah, that is quite a thing. Honestly, Katie, have you ever, over the course of, you know, a certain number of days of work, been like asked to leave work early more than half of the time?
I wish. No. wanted to, not necessarily ever asked to.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
But now my work, no one will tell me to leave because I'm just alone doing it myself.
Yeah, that's very fair. Freelance living. You're never being asked to leave work early. I used to like eject myself from when I used to work at Tim Hortons. I would really go out of my way to try to be the first person to leave early. Most people like needed the hours because they were like, you know, working people. I was just a dumb teenager who didn't really need all the money. And so if ever there was like, does someone want to go home early? I was always the first person to volunteer. My supervisor did not care for me because I was always looking to cut work. But with that, Katie, speaking of cutting work, you were on vacation last week. You still were putting out stuff. Big Slam Magazine articles and all sorts of stuff were coming out last week from you. But you were in Costa Rica. Our pal Joey Devine came and hang out and talked about the Warriors and Rick Barry for the week, which was fun. But I'm curious, Katie, you are often the person who is talking about people's summer vacations, digging into what they're doing. Are they vacationing right? Let's hear about you, little Katie Vacation Watch. How is Costa Rica?
It was great, man. First, I will say, you guys didn't talk about me nearly enough. listen to a little bit of it on the plane coming back.
It was too raw, Katie. We missed you too much.
Nah, there were ample opportunities. Neither of you took them, but it's fine. Actually, no, it's not fine. I'm saying I didn't like it. The trip was great. I'm an excellent ATV driver. I feel like It's a soft skill I didn't know I had, mm-hmm. that I was put on this earth to rip around safely, but like powerfully, on a quad. Really good at it, so that was a lot of fun. Costa Rica is very beautiful, super like jungly, really green, beautiful. The hiccup of the trip, which was like the only hiccup, which is very nice and rare, I think, was that our inter-Costa Rican flight, so when we landed in Liberia Airport, which is in kind of the northwest of Costa Rica, we were supposed to take a 30-minute flight to the airport closest to Santa Teresa, and it was rescheduled the night before. The airline called me and said, we rescheduled to 11 a.m. Can you make it? And I said, no, we're still going to be in the air on the other plane, unfortunately. So we had to arrange for like a shuttle, which, you know, took like 4.5 hours, but was kind of cool because we got to drive through the mountains and like sugarcane fields and like wild mango trees everywhere and just like beautiful countryside, like gradually making our way to the coast. So it was very nice, like a nice hiccup in the end. Otherwise, just a chill trip of picking a different remote beach to rip to on an ATV every day and read at. I saw a horse on the beach one day. I thought I was hallucinating. I was like, this is the day you definitely have sunstroke. But it was a real horse. It was a real horse just eating mangoes on the beach alone. I went up to it. We were just communing by the ocean. And yeah, it was a very, very beautiful trip. Drank a lot of great coffee, made a lot of excellent smoothies, bought a lot of great, like extremely fresh fruit. Saw a monkey, two monkeys, but at a good distance from myself because I hate them.
Right.
Heard a lot of monkeys, heard a lot of weird sounds like in the night, you know, like cool jungle sounds. Did meet a lot of crabs. That was accurate. I heard Joey say that. I did meet a lot of crabs. Crabs were super cute, I gotta say. They were popping up everywhere. A lot of geckos, super cute. Mostly cute wildlife, except for the monkeys I saw at a distance. I saw a monkey one day in the town drop a mango from a tree down to the ground where people had just walked by. And it was at such a height that... And they're, it's not ripe. Like, they're just sometimes ripping them off and whipping them down. It probably could have killed someone.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I am an appreciator of a mischievous monkey. I guess I've never really had an encounter with one, so maybe that would change
my overall view. What about murderous, though?
Overall view. But, yeah, I mean, they are unpredictable. I also find it's... you know, I like to watch a lot of nature shows, Katie. It's kind of a thing I like to do. I'm really digging right now the week-long five-night event that is Prehistoric Planet with our pal David Attenborough. That's been great. But I love just the regular nature show as well that's not about dinosaurs. And I always find myself a little unsettled during the monkey scenes because they really could do fucking anything. And it's kind of like looking a little bit, it's like an uncanny valley thing. It's like too close to humans. It creeps me out. So I think I know where you're coming from, even though I think they're beautiful, majestic creatures in most cases. Yeah.
So I guess apparently Tom Brady has a house in this town, which sucks, but we didn't see Tom Brady, thank God. But our neighbor did see Giselle one morning on the beach walking her dog while our neighbor was out for a run. And I was like, you know what? She probably comes here to get away from Tom Brady. Good for her.
You'd have to. The most remote jungle you can find, you have to go to get away from that white bread ass motherfucker. That sounds like a wonderful trip, Katie. I think we all kind of know the last couple weeks, particularly the last couple days, have been a nightmare if you are a person who is online a lot, because it leads to a lot of doom scrolling because terrible, terrible things happen in the world nonstop. My one reprieve over the last couple weeks has been just kind of scrolling the Instagram stories of both you and our friend Sean Keane, who's climbing Mount Everest right now. Really, the only thing I've enjoyed about online has been your posts. And I got to say, you posted a picture of, I think it was a papaya that you bought at the grocery store that looked like the most delicious picture of food I have ever seen on social media. I'm still thinking about that papaya. I have to ask you, how was the papaya?
That's funny because I bought it in like a heat daze. So I bought it the night we arrived after that really long day of like over 12 hours of traveling, you know, door to door, actually more. I also have to say the weather, which I grew to love and really appreciated, was like 35, 38 degrees humid. Like, I don't know what the air, like I feel like 80% moisture content in the water, but extra hot. So we went to this little kind of grocery that was like around the corner from where we were staying. They had like crates of fruit. They also had like, you know, single beers, ice creams, whatever you wanted in a pinch.
A haven is what you're describing.
Yeah, it was an amazing store. I spent a lot of time in there. I love grocery stores or like stores like when you're traveling. I love them so much. I'll use any excuse to go back. But there was a million coolers, like for refrigerators, for like drinks and the food and everything. So the store itself was extra hot to the point where fruit was warm inside. When you bought it, or like packages of things were warm inside. So I saw that papaya and I had picked up like a beer and then I picked up that papaya. And in my brain, like heat scrambled brain, I was like, this is good for dinner. Didn't end up eating it for dinner, probably for the best. But yeah, the next morning I was like, I'm going to take an influencer ass photo because the sun was coming in just right. You know, I had this like nice fresh papaya. As you know, it's haunting you. Sliced it in half. I have to say that papaya, not that great because something I learned about papaya. Well, it was fine, but it was like a bit bland. And what I've learned about papaya is because this was the trip where I was like, I'm determined to eat a papaya that tastes like something. Is that papayas are a lot like melons, like your honeydew or your cantaloupe, which is you get a bad one and it is bland. It doesn't taste like too much, but you get a good one. You're like, oh, damn, you know, but with papayas, it has to be so ripe that the outside is like very soft to the touch.
Okay.
So the second
papaya
I bought. It's
a little unsettling, I would say, because like that's like a banana is like really kind of going on the outside and it's like, yeah, no thanks.
And when you when I sliced into the second very ripe papaya, there was a real pungent aroma. And I was like, I don't know. I was a little hungover too. So I was like, I don't know. but I chopped up the whole thing, cored it. I threw some in a smoothie. I ate some with some fresh lime juice and salt on it. It was so good. It was very good. Excellent, excellent fruit. But, you know, I'm not trying to buy... I'm not trying to buy papaya at the grocery store, I don't think, after that experience.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably not something you should be going for in a Canadian grocery store. You're just never going to get the right stuff, right? It's just going to be...
Not from the source.
Man, I'm really jealous of that papaya. I'm jealous of your ATV riding. Which NBA player had a whole thing where he was ATV? Was that Kevin Love? Had an ATV vacation
Pascal
recently?
Siakam's done it.
Right, right.
Pascal Siakam's done it. Mike Scott's done it. I think Kevin Love did it when he went to, where do you go? Like, I should know this.
Yeah, it was like a cold weather vacation.
Yeah, he went to like, maybe it was Northern BC. He had an ATV up there. I'd say I'd rather rip around on an ATV in the jungle than in like snow.
Yeah, rough mountainous terrain. Yeah, I feel like that's probably a safer way to do it as well. Speaking of good vacations, it's so we're recording this on Wednesday. Yesterday, the All-NBA teams were announced, and Pascal Siakam was named to the All-NBA team. There was supposed to be a press conference this morning where he was going to address the media, and it seems like it got postponed because he's posting
on vacation.
A lot. Yeah, from wherever he is on vacation, and
good
I was
going to
be very upset with him if he did a presser at 10 a.m. on vacation. That was you know, unless he's like overseas, which I don't think he's in Europe. I think he's somewhere in the
tropical
Caribbean right now. Yeah. I didn't want to see him like have to address the media and answer questions about his All-NBA season while, you know, on his little water, like what is it called? Like the floating dock thing? That's what it is, a floating dock. didn't have to search too far for that term.
You got it.
Good vacationing by Pascal Siakam. It sounds like great vacationing by you as well, Katie. I'm extremely jealous.
Thank you.
And looking forward to my own vacation, which I can flaunt at some point this summer on the podcast. I'm going to Vancouver Island for like 16 days, so I'll have plenty of
just like Costa Rica.
Just like Costa Rica. The papayas, just completely ripe and flavorful, I'm sure. It's going to be a good time either way. Anyway, Katie, we got stuff to get to on today's show. The NBA playoffs continue to go on, even though they seem to kind of stink. We're going to dig into the blowouts that seem to be plaguing the NBA playoffs right now. I heard a stat yesterday on, I think it was Zach Lowe's podcast with Tim Bontemps, and in the last 21 NBA playoff games, there have been a combined 7 minutes of crunch time, which is like where it's been like within 5 points inside the last 5 minutes. Which is insane and kind of a bummer if you like close games. But Katie, you seem to maybe be on the other side of this, which I'm very intrigued to hear about. We're going to get to that in just 1 second. Plus, we're bringing back an old favorite segment in the segment we're trying out this week. It's our favorite musical segment, Name That Tune / Team. It is also our most clunkily named segment. That's coming up in the segment we're trying out this week. We got our posters of the week as well and all that coming up on today's show. So without further ado, let's dive in and talk about blowouts. All right, Katie, we've reached the thing we're talking about this week, and that thing is blowouts in the NBA playoffs, which have plagued both conference finals series, plagued much of the second round outside of that Bucks-Celtics series, and Game 7 was also a blowout there, too. It's been kind of a dull postseason if you're a person who likes games to be very close and tense and tight in the late going. Before we do get to blowouts, though, Katie, because this is a subject you brought up, and I'm really curious to see or hear what you have to say about it, I have to ask you another vacation-related question. Were you watching any basketball in Costa Rica? I'm always fascinated by how people watch or keep up with the sports they like while they're on vacation.
No, not at all. No? I didn't bring I didn't bring my computer. We did have Wi-Fi at the villa we were staying in, but yeah, I didn't want to. I liked the disconnect.
Yeah.
I mean, I was kind of catching up here and there, like checking in with people, and I sometimes remember to scroll Twitter and be like, oh, okay, this happened. But I couldn't really keep, you know, that nice thing in vacation when the days sort of tumble together. So I didn't necessarily know. There was a couple times when I was like, oh, you know, I guess the Celtics play tonight, but they would have played the night before, things like that, just like mixing up the days. I still feel like both of these series should be over already. I feel like they've been going on for too long, but they're still going ostensibly. So no, I didn't. I like happily kind of checked out.
Yeah, I gotta say, I've not been super. It's weird. I've been more compelled by the NHL playoffs than the NBA playoffs this season. The NHL playoffs have been fucking awesome. And I've been finding myself flipping over as soon as these games kind of get out of touch. I'm just like, you know what? I don't need to watch the rest of this Heat-Celtics game. I know how this is going to end. I'm going to go watch the Oilers and the Flames beat the shit out of each other. It's going to be awesome. So yeah, that's been kind of, I've been a little bit detached as well. Still keeping tabs, of course, but it's hard to really get caught up. And I'm finding it hard, especially because like the Celtics Bucks series was so good that it kind of feels like that was going to be the top of the pops for the whole playoffs anyway, and I don't really know if anything else can top it. There is something nice about getting that vacation reprieve from watching them. I will say one of my favorite experiences watching the NBA playoffs did one time come on vacation. I was in Mexico with my family at a resort, and I watched the clinching game of the Grizzlies second round to get them to the conference finals, whatever that was, like back in 2011 or 12, the grit and grind Grizzlies. And that was super fun getting to tune in and, soak that in at like the sports bar at the Mexican resort where nobody else was watching. And I was just kind of going crazy watching Zach Randolph and Marc Gasol. That was fun. But yeah, getting that that reprieve from the sports is always a nice part when you work in sports, I think, of going on vacation. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Blowouts, Katie, you brought this up as a subject you wanted to dig into, so I'll give you the floor to start here. Like, where are you at on blowouts? Are you finding they're taking away the enjoyability of the playoffs for you? Is there some charm to them that is maybe not being seen by the masses? Where are you at on the NBA playoffs and their blowout tendencies?
I actually don't mind them.
No?
I think they're mostly funny. I don't look at the NBA and I don't really like the association of the NBA as product because I feel like it devalues people's real lives and experiences. I get that it is a package product for television in the like most broadcasting senses, but you know, from a holistic standpoint, no. So I like the juxtaposition that blowouts offer mostly because people get really upset about the quote product.
They start talking about, you know, ratings, baby.
Having to fix it. Yeah, like fix Adam Silver, fix this. When it's like, what could you do? Honestly, beyond shortening the regular season, which has been something I think should have happened for seasons now, just given like the pace going up season over season in games and just the way that the game is played, how haggard guys are with injuries by the time the playoffs roll around. And I understand they also have always usually been unhealthy in the playoffs, but it does seem like you're seeing a lot of it the last few seasons. Except you didn't see it in the bubble. Oh, I wonder why. No travel, plenty of sleep. You know, everybody is like, it's like a condensed kind of format. Maybe that's why people had an ample time off. granted, because of a pandemic, but they still end, you know, shorter season, getting into that bubble. So, I think you could do that. And that's like, but it's not an easy fix. Maybe it's not a quick fix. It's probably not the fix that the NBA would envision. But other than that, it's like, how do you fix it? Because these blowouts are an anomaly. There's nothing on paper, right, that says why, you know, this should be happening. Because it's happened to every single team. I'd say, like, certainly in this round, and like, I'd say even in other rounds of the playoffs. And at this level, like in the conference finals, there's also like, we're talking about a kind of sense of maybe apathy or checking in and out, you and I. I don't think this is just me projecting. I feel like this is kind of the case for some of these teams, night in, night out, or more to the point of being like, well, we're getting blown out. Rather than try and dig ourselves out of this, we're just going to kind of resign ourselves to this fate. We'll see these guys next game, which, again, in my recent memory, doesn't happen at this stage of the playoffs. You like dig yourself out if it's close. And there's probably people out there that are like, well, 18 points isn't close. As a Raptors fan, yeah, it's close enough. You could, you know, like you could.
We live in the 3-point era, baby. That's 6 possessions.
Also, there's that. Yeah. Let's also like be frank about the fact that all these teams that are in this at this stage now have really ample like 3-point capable shooters, you know, that can go off for those points. And I get it. There's something about like going hot and cold that like you can't really account for. That just is the magic of basketball. So maybe that hasn't happened yet. But like you have all these things that should be a safeguard against blowouts, but yet they are not. You know, nevertheless, the blowouts are happening. Anyway, I like it because people are just like panicked and really like soul searching over this, like the dumbest thing. So I enjoy that. And I don't mind them. I don't need every game to be a nail biter. Sometimes a blowout is funny, especially when it's like you get a blowout and you get a blowout and they just go like back and forth. It's not the same teams. It's like, who's it going to be this time? Like, it's, I don't know. It's, I find it enjoyable.
Yeah, I think I find some charm in it too, especially if the team getting blown out is like a particularly funny team to be getting blown out. Like, you know, the Sixers getting their asses handed to them in the final couple of games against the Heat. Like, that's fucking hilarious. That's so funny.
And now the Heat getting blown out, that's what I mean. It's just like, yeah, these are karmic blowouts, right? It's like, they're dominoes.
And the other thing too about it, like, I think, you know, the 3-point thing is actually, I think, really kind of a part of it, right? Like, as much as these teams all have a lot of 3-point shooters, 3-point shooting is inherently pretty goddamn volatile, and there are going to be games where you don't hit a lot of threes, and I think it's kind of enhanced with the teams that are left in particular, because I'd argue 3 of them in Dallas, Miami, and Boston are the kinds of teams that are so good defensively that they're like forcing the other team to take a bunch of threes. And that's just like their whole thing is like, well, we're not going to give you anything else. Good luck hitting a bunch of threes. And sometimes the other team's going to hit a bunch of threes and lead to a blowout because you're going down and trying to score on a defense that is also not giving you anything easy. And sometimes it's just not your damn night. Shout out Dwayne Casey. It's a make or miss league, Doug. You know, it's just kind of the way it goes. I also think there's something interesting about blowouts within like a close series. Like, it's a bummer to watch a team just get their asses kicked 4 games in a row, right? Like, that Bulls-Bucks series was a bummer. But if it's a series where, and I think of, like, the Raptors-Sixers series from 2019 that comes to mind here quite a bit. Like, that series had 5 blowouts, I think, and 2 close games. Obviously, Game 7 was as close as it gets. But there's something to the idea, I think, of like a team just kind of showing their best shot to a team and then the other team adjusting in the off days and then blowing this shit out of the team that just blowed their shit out. You know what I mean? Like, there's something kind of all tied up in like the chess match that is coaching a playoff series that can kind of lead to these blowouts because you make an adjustment and it sometimes takes more than 48 minutes for a team to figure out that adjustment, and it's going to take till the next game to counter back. And that is part of the charm of the playoffs to me. Does that part get you excited at all? I know you're less of an X's and O's head. And, you know, I have become increasingly that as well. But I do find the sort of back and forth of, you know, coaches tinkering and then figuring out the thing that can kind of lay the next knockout blow to be actually part of the fun of watching a full 7-game series.
No, I agree. I don't think you've got to be an X's and O's head for that. I think that's just like good strategy, right? And you want to see those kinds of adjustments, I think, especially at this level. I can still enjoy that while enjoying the blowouts, because I feel like the blowouts are, even the coaches are like, I don't understand what's going on. It feels like some kind of cosmic, you know what I mean? It feels more cosmic, and you can't coach cosmic yet, unfortunately. Or maybe none of these coaches are equipped for it. But no, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, it's all part of the game. I mean, are there any big concerns, do you think? Like, look, caring about the ratings is the dumbest shit that dumb people do. Like, who gives a fuck? They're fine. The NBA has tons of money. They're going to be fine no matter who watches or how many people watch. But that is a thing people will inevitably start mentioning, especially if you get into the finals and maybe there's blowouts there too. Like, are there any sort of greater existential threats to be had with this many blowouts in the NBA? Like, you know, we're obviously not worried about it in the moment, but like over the course of a long-term period, do you think there are negative downside effects to it? Or is it something that will probably just even itself out anyway? And it's sports. Like, it's unpredictable. Sometimes you get heavy blowouts. Sometimes you get a postseason that's all close games and it all comes out in the wash. And that's just the way sports rolls.
I actually think the existential threats are going to come more to the teams that didn't even make it this far. Like, I obviously think of the Suns. They've got a lot of existential and maybe more like pretty tangible stuff to grapple with, you know. I think that's more interesting to me, of like the way that these playoffs have shaken out, because again, who played the Suns? The Warriors?
The Mavs. The Luka.
So yeah, I haven't obviously checked fully back in yet. Okay. The Mavs are pretty good. Okay, I'll give them that. But it wasn't like as much of a struggle, right? It wasn't as much of a fight as I expected, especially from that Suns team. And there have been a couple of those, not just like, I think the Bulls, Bucks, like that was just like the worst like match they could have drawn.
Yeah.
And I think they're pretty haggard. Yeah. Yeah. Like haggard by injuries. I don't think there's any like leftover ghosts, like postseason ghosts for DeRozan. I don't think that's even applicable. I think that was just like shitty luck, you know? But like, the Nets, like, remember, like, thinking back, like, to the beginning, like, the Nets, another one. Like, there's a lot of existential crises.
The Nets were the only team that played close games and lost. That was the thing. All those games were so super close.
But think at the beginning of the season, people were like, oh, I guess it'll be Nets-Suns, you know? Yeah. Like, it'll be a Nets-Suns playoffs.
Nets-Lakers, I think, was the preseason Vegas.
Oh, like, yeah, or yeah. Lakers. I think it's, like, Suns, Nets or Lakers. Lakers didn't even make it this far, and they started their existential crisis, like, you know, right after the All-Star break, I think.
Oh, yeah, they're months into but that by now.
I enjoy the prospect of that in retrospect for the teams that do kind of look and will have to look back and think, like, what the hell happened? How do we adjust and what do we do? Some just straight up won't, or will make kind of deja vu. Like, I really am not putting it past the Lakers to make some deja vu adjustments that don't adjust anything, that just, like, trade people for, like, more of the same people and then get the same kind of results next season. Remains to be seen. This kind of stuff excites me because it means the landscape of the league will shift quite a bit going into next season, which I like, because I think that's what actually keeps the league interesting and competitive, not like new weird rules in game to be like, to like make it more watchable. Though I will say Jordan Liggins, I was on Spinsters yesterday, and Jordan had a really good idea, which is the reset button. So in the playoffs, each team can only use it once in the entire playoffs, not just once per series. You get a reset button. You have to use it before the first quarter is over.
Okay.
Yeah, which honestly probably would have come in handy for quite a few of these teams.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a fantastic idea. You get to use it once. There's probably like some pageantry to using it. Like it's like a scepter something that you bust out.
I imagine like a big button. Like is the coaches have this like big like break in case of emergency style button. And then when they do, it's like an alarm's going off in the arena and like streamers coming down and like a big robotic voice going like reset, reset, reset.
Yeah.
Reset.
Round ball rock plays. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Yeah,
like there's a little boost for your entertainment product, right? So you get the best of both worlds there.
Katie, do you watch RuPaul's Drag Race?
Not a ton, but I've seen it.
So the most recent season, season 14, was unbelievable, mostly because it was basically sports. Like they at the very beginning, they had 14 chocolate bars for all of the different contestants. They'd just pick them at random, and one of them was gold. And so if you got eliminated, you got to open your chocolate bar, and if it was gold, you'd be saved. And it happened to one of my favorite queens. I won't say who, so I won't spoil, but one of my favorite queens got saved by the gold chocolate bar, which was completely sports. There was also another episode where they disappointed so badly across the board in one challenge that they were forced to do like a 7-way lip sync SmackDown to survive and not get eliminated. It was a whole episode special. It really was fully sports. It was fantastic. More ways in which you can sort of like blow up the sports of it all in the NBA, I think I'm fully on board. So a reset button as a way to combat these blowouts, I think would be fantastic. And yeah, I just wanted to piggyback on your point about like it forcing a bunch of change. I think if you're a fan of a team, you'd probably rather your playoffs end at the hands of a big blowout than like a close loss that you could like rationalize, right? And say, well, if only this thing happened, we'd be right there. Like sometimes a team just needs to get it shit kicked in to realize that it needs to change something. Not to always do the, well, this thing happened to the Raptors, but this thing did happen to the Raptors where three straight years they got swept by LeBron. And yeah, they had a couple close games in there, but there were also some monstrous blowouts. And I feel like without those blowouts at the hands of LeBron and the embarrassing losses, the Raptors are probably less inclined to, you know, make the Kawhi Leonard trade and sort of shift up their dynamic. And so I am hopeful that that leads to some crazy shit this offseason. Is there a team that was on the other side of blowouts a lot in the playoffs this year that you are hoping for the sort of biggest and loudest changes from here, Katie, before we move on?
You know, I might be like the lone voice in this because I saw a lot of like, I actually saw more than I was surprised by the kind of the discontent or hate or dislike that Chris Paul was getting. But I would still like for him to win a championship. It's getting farther and farther away. So it would be good for the Suns. But I think, again, the Suns is more, it's the opposite. It wasn't really like a blowout. It was one of these like close sort of, you can kind of rationalize it, though it still doesn't feel good when you do losses. Yeah, probably just the Suns. Everyone else, it's like, I just more am like happy to be a casual observer and be like, I can't wait to see what you think you should do.
I mean, I would say I think like if the Sixers losing badly in their final two games against the Heat can inspire some James Harden hijinks where either he like opts out and leaves the team and they don't bring him back or they trade him again or something, like just keep that James Harden drama train rolling, please. It's very, very entertaining. It's delicious. And with the Sixers involved, it makes it even funnier if things go wrong. But that's, I don't have anything else on blowouts. Katie, do you have any parting shots here before we move into our fan favorite segment, Name That Tune / Team?
Just that no one should panic. I think, you know, there are weird phases to the NBA and basketball, and this just kind of seems like another one. I don't think it's indicative of some greater problem afoot. You know, I don't think there's any erosion of the game. You know, I think people just like to panic because it's easier. Mm-hmm. But you don't gotta, I don't think you gotta dig too deep with this one. Sometimes just like weird shit just happens and you gotta roll with it.
That's what sports is, Katie. Weird shit happening and everyone rolling with it. I look forward to some of your Substack contemporaries writing an opposite take about how blowouts are ruining the sanctity of the game or something, but we know that won't be you over at Basketball Feelings. With that, we're going to round out this here segment. We're going to move into the segment we're trying out this week as we're bringing back an old favorite for the first time, and it's got to be like a year almost. We're playing Name That Tune / Team, baby. Let's get to it. Okay, we have reached the segment we're trying out this week, and sometimes we land on gold when we have this segment. Usually not. We'll usually do one thing one time and never return to it again, but Name That Tune / Team has been an old favorite. It survived the rigors of having a horrible name, which is, I think, maybe the most, the biggest testament to its quality as a segment. For those who are unfamiliar with this segment, it's basically like a version of Name That Tune, except it involves basketball teams. We've each picked three separate songs under the category of a similar theme, and we will play them back and forth for one another, and whoever did not choose the song, whoever's listening to the song for the first time, must name the NBA team that most is embodied by the lyrics, the tone, the feel, the artist, everything involved with that song. We got three songs each, and this week, Katie, we have gone with, in light of you returning from Costa Rica, in light of most NBA teams being on summer vacation already and a couple more soon to be following them in the next few days, we're going songs about going on vacation as our theme of the week. Apparently, we sent in our submissions blind to producer Greg, and so we don't know what the other person has picked, but no overlap when it comes to our selections, as producer Greg tells us. So that's very exciting, Katie. Are you ready to play Name That Tune / Team?
I am.
All right. Let's cue up my first song about going on vacation. Producer Greg, take it away. Everyone's trying. Canada's finest boys, Lover Boy, with Working for the Weekend, Katie. Sometimes you're just going to have a little staycation. You're going to go maybe to a cottage for a couple of days. You don't have to go on a crazy long vacation, but you're working for it all week long so you can go and have yourself a weekend. Katie, which NBA team is most embodied by Lover Boy's Working for the Weekend?
Ooh.
First of all, do you like this song?
You hear it too much.
It is on a lot, yeah. It's like on Q107 every day, every Friday at 5 p.m. Yeah, it's like their end of day bell song.
Yeah, I hear it too often to really enjoy it. It's like one of those songs, it's not a song to you anymore. It's just it's like if a song could be a caricature kind of.
It's no Turn Me Loose. Loose, I think, is true. The better of the Lover Boy hits.
That's a good one. So I think the theme that it's kind of a caricature of a song, so that it's a bit feigned, I think I would put this on the Sixers, because I think the idea for the Sixers is they got to be too hard-nosed to go on a real vacation. They got to get back to the grind. So the best they can do is just enjoy a couple days off here and there where they can. But I also think James Harden and Joel Embiid are 100% going on very long, real vacations. James Harden might just spend the summer in Greece again, as he's done in the past, going to raves on Mykonos and other various islands. So I think that's why it fits to me, because it's fake.
Yeah, that makes sense. I would also say James Harden, just as his general demeanor, has the most punch in the clock and work for the weekend ass demeanor of any player in the NBA. I'm not sure he's certainly not taking calls on weekends if the Sixers don't have a game or something. He's not showing up for a Saturday morning practice. He's not taking calls from Doc Rivers on schemes. He's completely checked out. He's got a good work-life balance, I would say, which is what this song is frankly all about. Katie, should we cue up your first song for me?
Yes, please.
All right, take it away, Greg. I need a
So that's, of course, Vacation by Young Jeezy. Actually, just like a perennial banger to me.
Very good song.
Listen to that song every time I feel just as worn out as he sounds in the song.
This is a really good one. It does, you know, have a lot of undertones of just kind of burnout and not wanting to ever answer a work email ever again. Like the kind of feeling you get just before you're about to go on vacation, where you feel like work is piled up. You're trying to do all the work so you can have a good vacation, and it just makes the whole process of going on vacation that much more stressful. A lot of Georgia-related references here, so I suppose the Hawks could come in, but the Hawks were eliminated in the goddamn first round, so they're probably not looking for a vacation. Honestly, might I say, this kind of sounds like the song that the 2020 Golden State Warriors might have been playing, right? Like, you play five straight NBA finals. You got dudes with snapped ligaments all over the damn place. Your title run has come to an end. Kevin Durant's leaving. You're sick and tired of Kevin Durant. This might have been played like in the locker room after game six of the 2019 NBA Finals by the Warriors. And yeah, they had a couple of years of vacation, but now they're back. They're in the finals. It's probably all because of Young Jeezy guiding them through that time where they were just completely, completely exhausted. Does that check out for you?
Sure. I accept, reluctantly. I kind of wanted you to pick a this year's team, but...
Oh, okay. Well, I can do a this year's team, too. I mean, it's tough because we're... Like, what teams, when they went out, do you think were just, like, completely exhausted? It might just be whoever ends up losing between the Heat and the Celtics that it applies to. Oh, you could say the Bucks, the Milwaukee Bucks. They go to the finals last year, played a lot of basketball, play a stressful-ass series with... The Celtics, maybe like as they're down 30 in game five or game seven, that just starts playing, you know, from the locker room, just like beckoning them to the locker room for the vacation to begin. So yeah, I'll go this year's Bucks. How about that?
Yeah, that's a good one, I think.
Perfect. Perfect. Let's go to my second song. Cue it up, producer Greg. Come Sail Away by Styx. An absolute banger. A very triumphant song, I would say, Katie. Looking forward to, some time at sea with the lads.
So he does say lads. I've never noticed that part.
Yeah, he says, come sail away, come sail away, come sail with me, away with me, comma, lads, on the lyrics. Lads.
I've never heard that in this, like when I've heard this song on the radio, I never clocked that. It's very funny.
Fantastic. So what do you got? Come Sail Away by Styx. Less of a, like, I'm tired and need vacation kind of song. Where are you at with this one for a team?
Probably the Grizzlies, because as much as they wanted to win, and I'm sure they took the loss like pretty hard, there's still a great feeling for where they got to, you know, and like how they played and how they did it and what kind of a season they had.
Yeah.
So I feel like this, because this is more of like a easy breezy, you go out, have a fun vacation, you're not... Nothing is really weighing on your mind. And then but you still come back fresher for it.
Yeah. That's a good call. A very good call. What a song, by the way. God, what a fucking great song. All right, let's go to your second song, Katie. You got a high bar to clear with Styx being the standard now. take it away, producer Greg.
Wasting away.
Wow. Margaritaville.
Margaritaville.
Wow. Wow. I almost picked this one, but it seemed...
I'm surprised you didn't. Have you been to the Margaritaville in Vegas? I have.
I've never been to Vegas before. No, I want to go though. I have had a margarita on the pier in Chicago.
There you go.
Yeah.
The one in Vegas is in the Flamingo, but it's pretty like depressing.
Right, right.
Anyway, that Margaritaville, Jimmy Buffett, for all the buff heads out there.
Just the opening lyric is so, the opening like stanza, nibbling on sponge cake, watching the sun bake, all of you parrot heads covered with oil and feathers and signs and pins, strumming my six string on my front porch swing, smell those shrimp, hey, they're beginning to boil, bubble, 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 bubble. What a, just a man with no cares, stringing words together that don't really make any sense. Like, this is not a team that had a stressful, high-stakes exit to the postseason, for damn sure. This might honestly be the LA Lakers, because I don't think by the end of the season, LeBron wanted to make the playoffs. I think he was actively trying to get out of there so he could go nibble on some sponge cake and watch the sun bake. That comes to me as like a quick inclination. Again, you need a low-stress team. I guess they had a pretty high-stress season, but I feel like LeBron's doing all right. He's got his four chips. He's got all the MVPs and accolades. He's going to be the all-time leading scorer. It's really pretty low stakes for LeBron these days. And so that's, you know, he's a Taco Tuesday, man. This kind of goes in with it, right?
True.
Is this a good pick for you? Or what was your original inclination?
No, I didn't actually have one. And that's a good pick, I think, for LeBron's, also his like offseason energy. I'm surprised we haven't like yet seen him in a picture with Jimmy Buffett in the offseason. And there is something about the Margaritaville in the Flamingos at Las Vegas energy about like in depression and kind of bleakness in that LA Lakers team. So it fits.
Yeah, yeah. There's, oh man.
It's overpriced, overhyped. You're going there because you're expecting a good time at least, but it's not even that. It's uncomfortable.
Jerry West is just
really
there,
weird people around, and they're all angry and kind of sweaty. Yeah.
People like saying, "Oh, my food didn't come with the right things on it. I'm gonna send this back." That feels like a thing that happens at Margaritaville a lot. Yeah. Boy, all right, we got one song left each. Let's go to my final song. Greg, take it away. I will say this is my dad's favorite song.
Well, I love that that's my dad's favorite song. Oh, man. That's cute.
His favorite song is Soak Up the Sun by Sheryl Crow. We had like three albums in the car growing up. There was my mom's Very Best of Queen double album. There was Pink Floyd's The Wall. And there was Come On, Come On by Sheryl Crow. Those were the albums in the car. The lyrics in this one, the first verse is wild. My friend, the communist, holds meetings in his RV. I can't afford his gas, so I'm stuck here watching TV. So I guess it's sort of like a wistful thing, maybe wishing to be living the sort of carefree lifestyle that this communist friend is living, and hoping to soak up the sun, as the lyrics go. Another phrase goes on, I've got a crummy job that don't pay near enough to buy the things it takes to win me some of your love. Kind of a sad song, actually. Yeah. Really stuck in the day-to-day grind of capitalism, it seems.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well,
so who do you got?
I won't do such a good capitalist reading, but I kind of use like the carefree reading with the Grizzlies. But I think this probably suits a couple people on the Timberwolves. Certainly Anthony Edwards. A little bit. A little bit Pat Bev. Yeah, because it's kind of like, especially the part of like, you know, I got no one to blame. I feel like those guys just really enjoyed themselves and where the team got to. They could blame Towns, but I don't think they are. You know, this is a team that got pajamas, like team-wide pajamas to start the season.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They're like kind of meshing. They just seem like the most carefree team, because who else is this going to? This can't be Boston. Like, this can't be. And I don't know what's going to happen in that series. But, you know, like the teams left feel like much too serious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
I also can't think of a team that's like the NBA's equivalent of like a communist team. I guess like the Raptors, in terms of like the socialism moniker that people love to slap on Canada sometimes. But
yes, the notably socialist country, Canada.
Actually, the notably, you know, socialist, like, this province might be, of Ontario. This might be the Raptors more, now that I think of it.
I was going to say that.
On vacation. Scotty Barnes is like also, I think, on vacation or just driving around Toronto in like a silk shirt. He looks really relaxed. Yeah, like Fred's probably like, now his family's like, great, now we can finally have you around the house and like have you on if we go on vacation. You know, he's just chilling with his kids. Yeah, like I don't think they don't have too much to do, right? Like Masai and Bobby are sort of like, yeah, you know, we'll get to the changes we got to make, but let's just enjoy this time. Yeah, I think this is more the Raptors.
To carry forth the anti-capitalist undertones, I'm just going through the lyrics here again. While it's still free, I'm going to soak up the sun before it goes out on me. Is this implying that there's going to be some, you know, way in which a rich guy starts charging people for sunlight? Because that could totally happen in the next 10 years. Wouldn't be shocked at all. Also, one question for you, Katie. Sometimes we'll see in our Posters of the Week segment, the players, you know, doing karaoke to songs on their, you know, on their Instagrams or whatever. Hassan Whiteside being a pretty notable, I can't remember what song he was singing now, but I do think that Soak Up the Sun feels like a very NBA player doing an Instagram sing-along type song.
Yeah.
And in particular, there's that sort of bridge part where it goes, every time I turn around, I'm looking up, you're looking down. Maybe something's wrong with you that makes you act the way you do. That part, I feel like, could be very easily found on Instagram. I'm wondering, which player do you think is most likely to do that?
Ooh. Like, I could see Pat Bev doing that.
See, I was going to say Anthony Edwards, for sure.
Anthony Edwards, too. Yeah. I don't think he knows this song. That's all.
Right. That's fair. Maybe Hassan Whiteside does. I can't. What was the song he was singing? It's going to bug me now. We're going to have to go back in the annals to figure it out. Was it Jesse's Girl. That's what it was. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe Hassan Whiteside likes Sheryl Crow as well. Mm. Yeah, yeah. You got one last song for me, Katie. Producer Greg, let's cue it up.
That is Vacation by the Go-Go's. I have to say that while I was picking these songs this morning, I was listening to them quietly in the kitchen, eating my breakfast, mm-hmm. and Dylan heard me and he came in and he was like, are you in here listening to Vacation, thinking about your vacation? And he was losing his mind. Yep.
that's very funny, because I was also listening to the songs I was queuing up for you. And Alana walked in and said, are you listening to the radio and getting ready to call in to try to win a contest? Because you're just playing songs that are on the radio all the time.
It's true.
So fun mirrored experiences on both of our ends with just completely befuddled paramours. So my pick here, I mean, if I'm going a single person, this is 100% playing in the mind of Frank Vogel and has been every single day since he got fired by the Lakers.
Yeah, like, I think so.
Unquestionably. No doubt. And, you know, what other teams kind of got eliminated and it was like, oh, God, thank God they're gone. I mean, the Nets also probably this applies to. Kevin Durant, Steve Nash is probably thinking this. Any coach with just like a completely warped job where he's not only coaching, but also just like managing dudes. Feels like this is probably the song that's playing in their head once the season ends. So I'll go Frank Vogel and Steve Nash. They're just like, they're sharing this back and forth with their Apple Music. And Steve Nash is jealous he has yet to be fired by the Nets.
I think, because I want to read, like, I think that works for Vogel, especially because the lyrics, because it's more of like a breakup song, which I didn't realize. But it's like, can't seem to get my mind off of you. Back here at home, nothing to do. Now that I'm away, I wish I'd stayed. Tomorrow's a day of mine that you won't be in. And then the second verse is, when you looked at me, I should have run, but I thought it was just for fun. I see I was wrong. Wow. So it's like, is that Vogel and LeBron James? Or is it Vogel and Pelinka? Probably.
Pelinka, yeah. Linda Rambis, Kurt Rambis. The Rambi, all of them. Yeah. Man, this was fun, Katie. Thank you for playing along and curating songs. And thanks to our spouses, apparently, for listening in and being confused. Thank you to producer Greg as well for queuing up all those slick tracks. Slick tracks. Boy, I'm a cool person. All right.
You should call into the radio. You've got that energy going. You've got that energy going today. You're real right. Call into the radio guy.
This real slick track I want you to play. It's that one about the paving the parking lots and the burning it down or something. That's the slick track I want to hear today. I don't know. Let's move on, shall we, to the posters of the week to close out the episode the way we do every episode of this podcast. The best in NBA social media from the last 7 days. I will go first. It's been a trying week. Lots of not so nice things going on online. And for Spencer Dinwiddie, it's been a trying week because his basketball team is losing and is down 3-1, was down 3-0 in the postseason against the Golden State Warriors in the conference finals. Feels like a formality that that one's going to wrap soon. Yet in the middle of all of this, the biggest concern for Spencer Dinwiddie came in the form of a post, just one of those blank text Instagram stories that just says, "Furnishing is harder than it looks," side-eye emoji. So I'm guessing he's having some apartment troubles while the series is going on. Is it bleeding into his performance? Who's to say? But Katie, Spencer Dinwiddie, having some trouble furnishing his place, it seems. Hope he's gotten that all figured out. I have the same feeling whenever I go to fucking IKEA and have to build all the shit I just bought there. Katie, who's your poster of the week?
Yeah, that's a pretty good one. As you know, I really like it when there's just like people, like when NBA players are just doing regular boring things that everyone else
in the middle of the literal conference finals.
I respect it. I like him more for that. Mine is Serge Ibaka, who's in cons and is like lounging, just posted a pic with his feet in like what looked like teal or aquamarine linen pants that could just be white pants that are reflecting the beautiful teal and aquamarine pool he's in front of. Beyond the pool, mountains, the ocean. This guy is just chilling, which I love for Serge, and which he's very good at in the offseason. So,
oh, enjoy. Yeah. I think probably an all-time vacation haver.
Bon appetit.
Right? Like the,
yeah.
Yeah. He was in Montreal not long ago, too. Just really soaking in that French culture. Just having himself a French-ass summer. You know. Well, love it. By the way, I should also say, I'm just glad Spencer Dinwiddie wasn't posting about crypto. That was another reason he stood out to me as a good poster this week.
And that he's feeling so good considering the crypto has crashed. So,
yeah. Yeah, that might be it. He's turned his attention to more important things like what size couch should I get for the corner of this living room? With that, Katie, we're going to wrap up this week's show. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Katie, it's lovely to have you back from vacation. Sorry I didn't talk about you enough last week. I hope you can forgive me. Anything you would like to promote for the good people out there?
Next time, you should talk about me more.
All right.
Oh, as I mentioned, I was on Spinsters this week, so you can listen to that podcast wherever you listen to this podcast. And the Exits series continues, which you kind of hinted at Basketball Feelings. No, I'm not writing about blowouts as a bad thing. I'll probably write about them as a good existential thing. And as always, please bear with me because when I undertake this in my brain, I'm like, yeah, I'll make these real easy breezy, but that is not how I write or work. So they never are. And it takes, I'm not out of the first round yet. So Maybe it's not so bad that every that like this stage of the playoffs is taking as long as it is. It's giving me more buffer time.
Katie, did you ever write one of those 100 word or less season previews for the Shocker?
Yeah. I wrote a ton of those.
How challenging was that?
Those were actually more fun because it was like, it was just a joke. And you were never actually writing about the team.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, good point. For me, you can find me on Twitter, as always, at Woodley Sean. You can listen to Locked On Raptors every day. The last couple episodes have been very fun. The Tuesday episode was a trivia smackdown with Freddie Rivas and Catherine Nyker. That was a ton of fun. And then today, it was the finale of our annual over-unders contest with myself, Vivek Jacob, and Sahal Abdi. And there were absolute scenes at the end of that one. Very, very dramatic conclusion to the over-unders this season, so you can go watch that. And if you are potentially thinking of dipping your toe into the Canadian Elite Basketball League on account of J. Cole signing with the Scarborough Shooting Stars and, you know, all the other great talent across the league, 10 teams Jalen in the Harris. League this year, coast to coast. Jalen Harris playing for Scarborough as well. I will be calling the very first game for Jalen Harris and J. Cole tomorrow on CBC Gem and on the CEBL mobile app as they take on Guelph in Guelph for the opening of those two teams' seasons in the CEBL. I'm calling a game Friday as well in Hamilton with Hamilton Montreal squaring off. And you can watch every week on Wednesdays on YouTube and on the CEBL app on CEBL Plus. You can watch CEBL Weekly, my weekly rundown of all things Canadian Elite Basketball League. A lot of fun. And the season's going to be freaking awesome. Full schedule for the first time since the inaugural season because of that whole pandemic shit that cut the last two seasons short. It's going to be awesome. So tune in and you can find it all for free. The games are absolutely free on CEBL, the mobile app, and on CBC Gem. With that, round it out. Thank you very, very much for tuning in. Go pick up Slam Canada as Katie is in that as whoops. Well with a piece on Shea Gildas Alexander. Yep. Whoops.
Yeah, that was a pretty significant thing that happened last week while I was away.
Yeah, no big deal. This is a Slam Magazine Canada Shea feature. Yeah, no big deal. Yeah, go get that. I got to get my copy still.
Just a quick cover story. You can order it at slamonline.ca.
Can you get it at like a newsstand? Is that a thing?
I don't think so. I think they want to really
be like...
Do they
have newsstands anymore?
Yeah, they're out there, but I don't know that this one... I wish it could be. I like that idea more. I know that it's like, oh, it's exclusive and it's an exclusivity thing, but I like the idea of people being able to pick this stuff up. But no, you have to order it online.
All right. Well, go get Slam Canada. I got to get myself a copy, unless Katie wants to send me one. We'll talk about that off air. Also, shout out to producer Greg for working the ones and twos, making us sound great each and every week. Huge thank you to him, as always, for his efforts making the show sound as good as it does. And with that, we're going to round it up, and we will talk to you again next week with another episode of Basketball, as the NBA Finals will be upon us. Bye-bye.